I and I alone am responsible for what I say, brothers and sisters. My theme is our Creator and the cosmos. I plead for the vital help of the Spirit as I speak to you as an apostle, not as an astrophysicist. As a special witness, I will speak about the witnessing universe. For the Scriptures are laid before thee, yea, and all things denote there is a God, yea, even the earth, and all things that are upon the face of it, yea, and its motion, yea, and also all the planets which move in their regular form, do witness there is a supreme Creator. End of quote. May what follows, therefore, brothers and sisters, not my words, but the stunning words of Scripture, along with some breathtaking visuals, bring additional awe and reverence concerning the wonders the Father and the Son have wrought in order to bless us. Under the Father's direction, Christ was and is the Lord of the universe, the same which looked upon the wide expanse of eternity. The late Carl Sagan, who communicated effectively about science and the universe, perceptively and I think chidingly observed that, quote, in some respects, science has far surpassed religion in delivering awe. How is it that hardly any major religion has looked at science and concluded, this is better than we thought. The universe is much bigger than our prophets said, grander, more subtle, more elegant. God must be even greater than we dreamed. Instead, they say, says Sagan, no, my God is a little God, and I want him to stay that way. A religion, old or new, that stressed the magnificence of the universe, Sagan continues, as revealed by modern science, might be able to draw forth reserves of reverence and awe hardly tapped by the conventional faith. Sooner or later, such a religion will emerge. End quote. Latter-day Saints should not lack reverence and awe, especially when we contemplate the universe in the context of divinely revealed truths. Yes, the cosmos, as revealed by modern science, is elegant, as Sagan wrote. But the universe is also pulsating with divine purpose. So our awe is added upon, providing even greater reasons for reverential awe regarding the magnificence of the universe. Of course, the Church does not align itself with the astrophysics of 2002, nor does it endorse any particular scientific theory about the creation of the universe. As astrophysicists pursue their important work, they use the scientific method and are not in pursuit of spiritual answers. A few scientists share our belief in religious explanations concerning these vast creations. But some are like the late Bertrand Russell, who, without belief in divine design and the Scriptures, viewed ours as a, quote, unsponsored universe. Bereft of belief in cosmic meaning, some, as portrayed by one writer, view humans as having been, quote, wrenched whimpering into an alien universe. Resoundingly, the restored Scriptures tell us otherwise. But for us to ask ourselves, do the sweeping scriptural words with which we have been blessed stir us enough? Are we steadily becoming the manner of people who reflect such soaring doctrines by our increased spiritual sanctification? Brothers and sisters, God is giving away the spiritual secrets of the universe, but are we listening? In daily discipleship, we are rightly instructed to lift up the hands which hang down. Why not also strive to lift up the sometimes passive and provincial minds which also hang down, unnoticing of the stunning scope of it all? Given all that God has done to prepare a place for us in this stretching universe, might we not develop and display greater faith? In the perplexities and crunches of life, will we have faith in the Creator's having made, quote, ample provision, end of quote, to bring to pass all His purposes? Years ago, President J. Reuben Clark made this comforting comment, quote, "Our Lord is not a novice. He is not an amateur. He has been over this course time and time and time again," end of quote. Brothers and sisters, has not the Lord described His course as one eternal round? Greater appreciation for the greater universe will also help us to live more righteously in our own tiny universes of daily life. Likewise, a better understanding of God's governance of the vast galaxies can lead to our better self-governance. Now for a mixture of scriptures, illustrations, and scientific commentary. Consider first this photo of our beautiful Earth as viewed with our moon in the foreground. Reflect upon how long it took man to reach the moon, and yet it is located in our own backyard. The resources necessary to sustain human life, so generously provided on this particular planet, unless mismanaged, we are told of them there is enough and to spare. Yet, as big as this Earth is, all of us jet laggers can so attest. Stephen Hawking provided for us some sobering perspective. Quote, "Our Earth is a medium-sized planet orbiting around an average star in the outer suburbs of an ordinary spiral galaxy, which is itself only one of about a million galaxies in the observable universe." End of quote. One scientist who does not believe in divine design nevertheless noted how things, quote, "have worked together for our benefit. It almost seems as if the universe must in some sense have known that we were coming." End of quote. Arrangements on this Earth are apparently more favorable than any in our stretching solar system. Notice now the planet Earth in that solar system. If, for example, the planet Earth were closer to the sun, we would fry. And if it were more distant, we would freeze. Now note the arrow which points to about where our solar system is situated amid the incredible vastness of our own Milky Way galaxy. In this visual, though our solar system is stretched out over millions and millions of miles, it's too tiny to see. Oh, the sweeping scope of it all. On a clear night, you and I can see some portions of the Milky Way. But what if a view of the sparkling stars of the Milky Way occurred only once every 1,000 years? Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote of how then, quote, "men would believe and adore and preserve for many generations their remembrance of the city of God, which had been shown," end quote. No wonder the scriptures tell how wide and varied God's witnessing to us is. "Behold, all things are created and made to bear record of God. Things which are in the heavens above, and things which are on the earth, all things bear record of me. Next, contemplate what constitutes but one section only within our vast Milky Way galaxy. Isn't it breathtaking? Especially when we realize that the distances between those bright dots are so great. Whatever, therefore, the how is of God's creative process, spiritually reassuring things are set forth about the beginning, back of the beyond, so very long ago. And there stood one among them that was like unto God. And he said unto those who were with him, we will go down, for there is space there. And we will take of these materials, and we will make an earth, whereon these may dwell. And they went down at the beginning, and they organized and formed the heavens and the earth. Strikingly, one scientist wrote that our galaxy, the Milky Way, is located in one of the relatively empty spaces between the great walls. There is space there. As able scientists continue to probe beyond our galaxy using the Hubble telescope, they discover stunning things like the Keyhole Nebula with its own stars. The Hubble Space Telescope has shown us so much more. And to use one of your students' favorite words, it is awesome. Now notice in this next view what is called a star-forming region involving unorganized material. And the scriptures say, and as one earth shall pass away, and the heavens thereof, even so shall another come. Next, we see a visual of what is left over after a star dies. For behold, there are many worlds that have passed away by the word of my power. In the words of the hymn, How Great Thou Art, of the universe and the atonement, we sing that we scarce can take it in. Whatever God's initial process, there apparently was some divine overseeing. And the gods watched those things which they had ordered until they obeyed. Very significantly, we here on this earth are not alone in the universe. In the Doctrine and Covenants, which will be the focus of your study, we read that by Christ and through him and of him, the worlds are and were created, and the inhabitants thereof are begotten sons and daughters unto God. We do not know where or how many other inhabited planets there are, even though we appear to be alone in our own solar system. As to the Lord's continuing role amid his vast creations, so little has been revealed. However, there are inklings about kingdoms and inhabitants. Therefore, unto this parable I will liken all these kingdoms and the inhabitants thereof, every kingdom in its hour and in its time and in its season, even according to the decree which God hath made. In that same parable, the Lord then even invites us to, quote, ponder in our hearts that particular parable. Such pondering doesn't mean idle speculation, but rather patient and meek anticipation of further revelations. Besides, God gave only partial disclosure, not all, to Moses, with, quote, only an account of this earth, But brothers and sisters, Moses still learned things he, quote, never had supposed. Nevertheless, we do not worship a one planet God. Now cast your eyes on this view of what is called deep space. Almost every dot you see in this frame, courtesy of the Hubble telescope, is a galaxy. Now think of our own Milky Way galaxy. And every one of these dots, almost all of them, are a galaxy. I am told that each galaxy, represented herein, has on the order of 100 billion stars. Just this little wedge of the universe has almost innumerable worlds. Earlier believers in divine design included the articulate Alexander Pope. He reacted thusly to the marvels of this universe as being, quote, a mighty maze, but not without a plan. Worlds unnumbered though to God be known, but it is ours to trace him only in our own, though other planets circle other suns, end of quote. Happily for us, brothers and sisters, the vastness of the Lord's creations is matched by the personalness of his purposes. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it, not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, and worlds without number have I created. And I also created them for mine own purpose. For behold, there are many worlds that have passed away by the word of my power. And there are many that now stand, and innumerable are they unto man. But all things are numbered unto me, for they are mine, and I know them. And what, one may ask, is God's purpose for the inhabitants? It is, as you surmise, best expressed in that terse verse with which you are all so familiar. For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Therefore, in the expansiveness of space, there is stunning personalness, for God knows and loves each of us. We are not ciphers in unexplained space. Remember the psalmist's query was, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Yet mankind is at the very center of God's work. We are the sheep of his hand and the people of his pasture. His work includes our immortalization, accomplished by Christ's glorious atonement. Think of it, brothers and sisters. Even with their extensive longevity, stars are not immortal. But you are. The revelations give to us very little information, however, concerning how the Lord created it all. Scientists, meanwhile, focus on how and what and when. Nevertheless, some of them acknowledge the puzzlement over why. Hawking said, quote, although science may solve the problem of how the universe began, it cannot answer the question why. Why does the universe bother to exist? I don't know, said Hawking, the answer to that, end quote. Albert Einstein said of his desires, quote, I want to know how God created this world. I'm not interested in this or that phenomenon, in the spectrum of this or that element. I want to know God's thoughts. The rest are details. End of quote. Dr. Alan Sandage, a believer in divine design, was one of Edwin Hubble's two graduate students. Sandage wrote, quote, science is concerned with the what when, and how. It does not, and indeed cannot, answer within its method, powerful as that method may be, why. End quote. Mercifully, brothers and sisters, we are given vital and pivotal answers to the why questions in the revelations which contain the answers that matter most to us anyway. Having seen vast and spectacular things, Enoch rejoiced, but over what? He rejoiced over his personal assurance about God, quote, yet thou art there. Subsequently, Enoch even saw God weep over needless human suffering, which tells us so much about divine character. But that is a topic for another time. Alas, even given the remarkable revelations about the cosmos and God's purposes, people can still drift away. These people did. And it came to pass that the people began to forget those signs and wonders which they had heard and began to be less and less astonished at a sign or a wonder from heaven, insomuch that they began to be hard in their hearts and blind in their minds, and began to disbelieve all which they had heard and seen. So as you and I ponder God's creative grandeur, we are also told to consider the beauties of the lilies of the field. Remember, all things bear witness of Him. In this visual, we see lilies and then in close-up divine design. The same divine design in the universe is miniatured in the lilies of the field. The miracle of this planet has so many ongoing, marvelous subtleties. Historian John Lukacs quotes Wendell Berry as follows, quote, whoever really has considered the lilies of the field or the birds of the air and pondered the improbability of their existence in this warm world, which is located within the cold and empty stellar distances, will hardly balk at the turning of water into wine, which was, after all, a very small miracle. Berry continues, we forget the greater and still continuing miracle by which water, with soil and sunlight, is turned into grapes. End quote. As we reverence what the Lord has created, we are to reverence Him and His character enough to strive to become ever more like Him, just as He has directed. Unsurprisingly, therefore, the power of godliness is revealed in lilies, but it is also likewise revealed in the ordinances of His gospel. Thematically, these ordinances concern our cleansing, covenanting, obeying, and preparing, all behaviorally necessary in order for us to be empowered to make the homeward journey. These personalized expressions of divine love and power matter much more to us anyway than trying to number the wondrous galaxies or comparing the number of planets to stars. We lay people could not comprehend it anyway. Achieving spiritual sanctification matters so much more than cosmic quantification. Thus, as you and I enlarge our views of both the universe and of God's stretching purposes, we too can reverently exclaim, oh, how great is the plan of our God. Therefore, as we probe and ponder and learn, we certainly should be filled with awe, and we should also be intellectually meek. King Benjamin counseled us with these simple but profound words, quote, believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power. both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. End of quote. Alas, in our age, brothers and sisters, we have some who believe that if they cannot comprehend something, then God cannot comprehend it either. Ironically, some do actually prefer a little God. Instead, better for all of us, scientists and non-scientists alike, instead of trying to downsize divinity, to upsize our personal humility. As spectacular as what science has learned about the universe so far, the witnessing universe, it is still such a small sample. From the 1995 Hubble pictures of a deep field, it was said, and this is the deep field, the deepest image ever taken of the heavens covered a speck of sky only about the width of a dime located 75 feet away. The soul trembles. Whatever Moses' own sample, no wonder he was overwhelmed, and he fell into the earth, saying, "Man is nothing." Mercifully, though awestruck, the revelations assure us of God's love. Now, my brethren, we see that God is mindful of every people, whatsoever land they may be in. Yea, he numbereth his people, and his bowels of mercy are over all the earth. And the prophet continues, "Now this is my joy and my great thanksgiving. Yea, and I will give thanks unto my God forever." So, brothers and sisters, the Lord is mindful of each of his vast creations. Look once more at the many dots in just one portion of our ordinary size Milky Way galaxy. He knows them all. Think of it, therefore, just as the Lord knows each of these creations, so also he knows and loves each of those seen in this or any other crowd. Indeed, he knows each and all of mankind. Divine determination, therefore, is so reassuring, as these words in Abraham set forth, "For there is nothing that the Lord thy God shall take in his heart to do but what he will do it." His capacity is so remarkable that two times in two verses in the Book of Mormon, he courteously but pointedly reminds us that he's able to do his work. Is he ever? Furthermore, order, unsurprisingly, is reflected in God's creation. "And I saw the stars, that they were very great, and that one of them was nearest unto the throne of God. And there were many great ones which were near unto it. And thus there shall be the reckoning of the time of one planet above another, until thou come nigh unto Kolob," which Kolob is after the reckoning of the Lord's time, "which Kolob is set nigh unto the throne of God, to govern all those planets which belong to the same order as that upon which thou standest." One scientist is reported as saying of cosmic configuration, quote, "We may be living among huge honeycomb structures or cells," end quote. Some scientists say of certain non-random galaxies that they, quote, "appear to be arranged in a network of strings or filaments surrounding large, relatively empty regions of space known as voids," end quote. Other astronomers say they have discovered an enormous wall of galaxies, the largest structure yet observed in the universe. Commendably, such able scientists continue to press forward. For us, however, clearly the Earth never was the center of the universe, as many once provincially believed. Nor has it been many decades, brothers and sisters, since many likewise believed our own Milky Way galaxy was the only galaxy in the universe. But the more we know, the more vital the why questions and the answers thereto become. Yet the answers to the why questions are obtainable only by revelations given by our creating God. And more is yet to come. All thrones and dominions and principalities and powers shall be revealed and set forth upon all who have endured valiantly for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, if there be bounds set to the heavens or to the seas or to the dry land or to the sun, moon, or stars, all the times of their revolutions, all the appointed days, months, and years, and all the days of their days, months, and years, and all their glories, laws, and set times, shall be revealed in the days of the dispensation of the fullness of times. Therefore, brothers and sisters, as we look at the universe, we do not see unexplained chaos or cosmic churning. Instead, the faithful see God moving in His majesty and power. It is like viewing a divinely choreographed cosmic ballet, subduing and reassuring. Even so, in the midst of feeling overcome by the wonder and the awe, the cares of the world can overcome us. Humdrum routineness and repetition cause us, or can cause us, to look indifferently downward instead of reverently upward and outward. We can become estranged from the Creator, who then seems like a far distant star. For how knoweth a man the Master, whom he has not served, and who is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and intents of his heart? We know the Creator of the universe is also the author of the plan of happiness. We can trust Him. He knows perfectly what brings happiness to His children. Meanwhile, therefore, among those you teach are some who experience daily life situations in which they are or feel unloved and unappreciated. They can nevertheless know that God loves them. His creations so witness. Therefore, we can confess His hand in our individual lives just as we can confess His hand in the astonishing universe. If we will so confess His hand now, one day, we who are cradled amid His creations can even know what it is like to be, quote, clasped in the arms of Jesus, end quote. The reverent rejoicing being now encouraged by these remarks was there a long time ago. As the Creator's plan was presented premortally, some even shouted for joy. Why not? For man is that he might have joy. May you be blessed to convey to your students the contagion of your reverence and awe concerning the Lord's creation and His plans for us. In conclusion, I testify that the astonishing work of God is greater than the known universe. Further, I testify that God's plans for His children predate His provision of this beautiful planet for us. In the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.